The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks, as always, for listening today.
Yes, it is a sunny day here in Cali, finally, because there's been crazy rain, but the drought is over, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah, you guys have gotten a little rain out there.
A ton. And it's been cold. It's been like in the 40s. I'm like, what's up with this?
Oh, yeah. Here in Texas, it's 40s today, which was a little shocking to my system. But the last week has been like sunny and 70s, and we've been outside and like enjoying it, and it just feels like the other shoe is going to drop and we'll get some like insane ice storm in February or something.
It's January 25th, 2017. And actually, I'm looking at my Apple Watch because I have the weather for Boston, because I was like, oh, when I'm in California, I'm going to constantly look and see how cold it is in Boston. It's not that cold. It's 40. It's 41 degrees. Like, they've had barely any snow while we've been
here.
Yeah.
When I was in Chicago for that bridal shower, it was not snowing. It was like rainy and kind of crappy and cold. But I was like, this is the only winter I'm going to get, is this tiny visit to Chicago. And it wasn't even like pretty or white or wintry, really. Mm. It was just like meh. So maybe I will experience no winter this year. But that was your whole point in leaving. So
yeah, but I'm
there'll be no winter for you.
There'll be no snow for me. But it's cold.
The dreary California.
Oh, but I'll be in Mexico. I'll be in Mexico in another month, so that'll be nice.
You're like chasing mild weather.
I know. Like some people chase hurricanes and storms, I'm chasing
like
warmth.
75 with a nice breeze.
Yes, yes. So we are, this is part three of our three-part series of the wedding day timeline, wedding day schedule. And if you, our listener, who we love so much, have not listened to episode one or two, I would suggest going back and doing that. This is all really very important stuff, very important info, and we're hoping that you learn a lot from this.
Yeah, the timeline is something you just can't avoid, even if you don't want to deal with it. And even if you have professionals and, you know, a full wedding planner handling all of the details, the timeline is still going to pass through your email. At some point, you'll need to add your input. And that's what we are working on with you, is trying to create a basic wedding day timeline in these three episodes. The first episode, we talked about like the main events of a wedding day, putting those in order, and also just the virtues and all of the delights that are in a spreadsheet that we love so much. We're big spreadsheet gals. And then the last episode, the second one, was plugging in kind of like the fun events. It was like splashing the color onto this puzzle and putting in your micro events and your special dances and your toasts and your songs and the things that make your wedding unique. And then this episode, the third part, is more logistic house cleaning type stuff. Less fun, but still very necessary.
Yeah. It's very satisfying, this part.
Yeah, it is. We're almost there.
It's like you've been putting this puzzle together, this 1,000-piece puzzle together, for like over a week. And now you're down to those pieces that you're like, I got to get it in there. And now like this fine tuning is like putting it, like finally figuring out where those puzzles pieces go, the ones that have been sitting on the table for over a week or perhaps longer. And once you get them in, it feels so good.
Yeah, it's coming together. And when you hit print, at least for me as the planner, when I hit print on my final timeline, which I'm actually doing today for my wedding in 3 days, you know, I'll probably still take a pencil to it, like Saturday or even Friday. But getting all of the documents printed out is so satisfying. I'm actually waiting until like 4 o'clock to do it today because I know I'm going to have some vendors emailing me back answers today. But it's almost done. It's like there's like two pending things left, like two TBDs. And when it's done, it's going to be printed and it's like I can close my binder and I will probably sleep better tonight having it just printed out and knowing like I do have the answers. And that's what a timeline provides you. From the point where you are finished with your timeline, whether it's a day before your wedding or a month before your wedding, you have the answers to everyone's questions. And especially if you don't have a wedding planner, you need all of those answers. And the best case scenario is to get all that information out before the wedding day so that you can actually enjoy this amazing day that you put together and you're not thinking about all these details. So you do at some point have to let the pros, let the people that you've hired take it.
Yeah, I think,
and run with it.
Well, whether you're the person getting married or the planner, once you have this timeline more or less and you have the order of events figured out, it starts to put this visual together for you. And it's very satisfying knowing how that day is going to flow and the feel of it. So it's a really, like, you might look at it as like this really difficult task. But once you have the main components in that timeline, it really tells a story and it feels good. And like all the work you've put into it just, you know, starts to come to life. And one thing that you started to touch on, Christy, is that we as wedding consultants and, you know, that I specialize in month of coordination, like these timelines are a really big part of my job. And you started a month before, you're working on it. And once you feel like you've got more or less all of these fine-tuning or all these last puzzle pieces in, that should be at least a week before the wedding. Because at least a week before the wedding, you want to send out this finalized schedule to all the key vendors in an email and say, I need you to look at this at your part, find your name, look at these, make sure it makes sense to you. And if you have any major issues with this or changes, you've got to get back to me within 48 hours. Because you're going to have to fine-tune that schedule again and you're going to have to send it out a couple days before the wedding so that they have the final, final, final draft.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is that one change can trickle down into several changes and then you have to adjust a bunch of things. So we cross our fingers that any changes, you know, really close to the wedding are small things. It's easy to input information or change a song, like, oh, we changed our first song from this to this. Mm-hmm. And then the only person that needs to know that absolutely is the DJ. But if something big changes, like, oh, no, you actually can't arrive at the church more than 20 minutes before your ceremony because they have something else going on and that was in your contract. Oops. You got to redo that morning time of the day. That could trickle into effect several
makeup,
other things, transportation.
Arrival. Yeah, lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So one change, like Christy said, is going to cause all kinds of change.
And we are big proponents of going back through those contracts with a fine tooth comb and a magnifying glass and making sure that all of the vendors you have on your team, you have created the schedule that works within the contract that you've signed with them. So the DJ is, you know, contracted to only work for 6 hours, or the photographer is 7 hours, and, you know, there's a second shooter, or the venue has in their contract that you can come 2 hours before, but you have to be done within an hour at the end, by midnight, let's say. So these are all details that there's not a lot of wiggle room there. You already signed the contract. You've agreed to these terms, so input those terms exactly as they are into your timeline. And if the photographer is only going to be there for 7 hours, you need to figure out exactly what 7 hours you want. And in a lot of cases, they have to show up somewhere. Like in the wedding I'm doing on Saturday, they they need to arrive at the hotel that the bride is staying at for some getting ready shots. And then they'll be at the venue for the reveal and all of the events, all the reception. And then they'll stay till the very end of the night. And that works with their 9-hour contract. But look back through, and these are the finishing touches that you need to put into your timeline, are the arrival times and the length of time that every vendor is working. And yes, also the strike times, right? When yes, they're coming back.
Yeah. So I usually about 2 weeks before I have my confirmation sheets that I send out to vendors with specific questions, and it can be in the form of an email. And you're going to want to make sure that you have, in some cases, the exact name of the person showing up on your wedding day. And if not, that'll be a pending item in your timeline. You want to have cell numbers of those people showing up, and even backup cell numbers. Hey, if I can't reach Tom, who can I call instead in case of emergency? Mm-hmm. You want to know what their arrival time is going to be, or you might be telling them this in some cases. This is all of your confirmation emails or phone calls. Email I prefer because there is a trail, right? You can say, hey, on January 4th, you told me this. But you want to make sure you're confirming everything that is in the contract, but you might have signed that contract a year ago or 6 months ago, right? And now you've got this schedule. So make sure you're at this point doing your vendor confirmation emails, and you are inputting all this into the schedule. That's what this third part of our timeline series is about, is confirming, and never leave anything up to assumption. Never.
Yeah, because once it all works, there will be a natural flow to it. But these things have to be confirmed and sort of double checked as you go, because yeah, one vendor could be arriving and you've agreed to this. You know, the linen rental is going to arrive at 1, and the cake baker, you know, her window is noon to 2 to drop off the cake. But the cake sometimes can't be dropped off unless the linens are on the table. So those are little things that you need to switch or move around or adjust when you're looking back through this and crossing your T's and dotting your I's, and then confirming that with the vendors so that everything makes sense on the day. Because weddings do have a natural flow to them. And if you've hired professional vendors, they've all done this before. So they know. You just need to make sure that it works for your day and for your team, because sometimes the vendors don't know each other. That's pretty common.
If they do, it's great. If they do, like, the florist is going to be calling your cake baker and she's going to be like, hey, Betty, I can just drop off those orchids to you the day before mm-hmm. the wedding, and you can just put them on yourself. Like, I trust you to do that. Or perhaps it's a lot more ornate. And then Betty says to Anne, listen, I'm going to make sure that I'm there at this time. What time are you coming? I have to find out from Michelle what time the hotel is going to put those linens on that cake table. And okay, so you're going to be there for an hour setting up? Great. Then that'll give us plenty of time.
Yeah,
so
we'll be there within that hour.
Right.
And that's then, if they know each other, that's so great. But if they don't, you might act as a mediator.
Yeah, mediator.
As the client, as the person getting married, you've paid them to do a job. They are going to have questions about how best to do that job, and your timeline will provide most of the answers. So that's why you want it done ahead of time, because you're going to be on the go, you know, texting the DJ and running errands the week of your wedding, and you want to just have the timeline done so that you can answer questions as you get them. And I do agree that it's best to put them in writing so that you can remind yourself what the response was, but also so that there is that trail.
Also, another tip is I would not, because you might be thinking, those listening, I'm gonna put together a Google Docs or a Google spreadsheet, and I'm gonna make it available for all my vendors to edit. I would recommend not doing that. I would highly recommend not doing that. When I send my timelines, I send them as PDFs on purpose, because too many cooks in the kitchen. You want to be the only one that is making changes to that timeline.
And then confirming that you made the change with the person that requested it or mm-hmm. that suggested it. I actually send out separate versions, but I think this is going overboard. It's my type A in me, but separate versions of the timeline to the DJ and the photographer and the caterer.
You do?
Yes, so that they – so I take out some stuff that they don't need to know or that would just kind of confuse the issue, maybe stuff earlier in the day, and then get their notes same way. Just they just email me their notes. They don't edit them. And then I have a version myself, like a master timeline that I'm using the whole time, and I just make adjustments on that as I get the answers in.
Interesting. So even on the wedding day, do they have their own version or do you give them the whole master?
I print out several copies on the wedding day. And the DJ has the same thing I do. It just maybe starts with my arrival time or his. It doesn't have like getting ready and shuttle buses and all that stuff. And the bride or the groom or whoever I've been working with has approved my master schedule. Hmm. So by that time, if it's a couple of days before and anybody emails me questions, I probably will just send them the master timeline because it has everything. Mm-hmm. But that's the one we're talking about. It does have what time things start, what time they end, and who, which person, either a vendor or a person in the wedding party, is a part of everything so that we can go through and see it that way.
Also have addresses, right? If ceremony is at one location, reception's at another location, even if you have the name of the place or you have the word ceremony, that doesn't mean that somebody in a hurry or in some sort of a panic isn't going to need to quickly look at that timeline and say, oh my God, what's the address? I gotta put it into Waze. There's traffic right now. You know, it's that's one less step for them. So again, as much info as you mm-hmm. can put without putting too much, if that makes sense, right?
Just it's a sweet spot.
It's a sweet, yeah. It's a fine line there. Who, what, when, where, right? Who, what, when, where, and very simple English and very plain text.
And if you're going to err on either side, put too much information because your vendors should be able to print this out and highlight their parts and yep. make notes on their parts. So right. there is a little bit of like, you know, here's the map. You guys find your way there. Our teacher, Michelle and I both had the same teacher when we were certified to be wedding consultants in California. And her timelines were 15 pages long sometimes for a wedding day. Mm-hmm. I think Michelle and I have both adjusted ours to fit our needs and the way we work. Mm-hmm. But she reiterated the point several times, which I've gone back to and which speaks to putting addresses in, is that in the event, as a wedding planner, that on the morning of, I just cannot do this wedding, which has never happened, but like the event of emergency, mm-hmm. the point of your timeline is that you could hand it to anyone, but hopefully a wedding professional, and they will be able to run the show based on the information that you're giving them. Thanks. You've included everything there to use if needed.
That is
and that's
exactly
a good rule
right.
of thumb.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. That is huge. That is one of the main reasons we put this together. If a truck hit me, God forbid, or I got really sick, I would go to my assistant coordinator will have that timeline and he or she will be able to take it and run with it. Yep. Absolutely.
And the flip side of that is if you don't have a wedding planner and you've done all of this work and it's a thorough, detailed, easy to read, you know, basic custom wedding day timeline for your wedding, your vendors will be able to see how they fit into the team and they should be able to do their jobs according to that timeline. And that's what would happen if you did not have a wedding planner or a day of. The DJ and the photographer still know everything that's happening and it's sort of on them a little bit more. They have more responsibility to keep the day going in that order since there's not somebody else, you know, dictating over the whole thing. So any way you slice it, the timeline is important and putting in these final numbers based on the contracts that you've signed and based on transportation, which we'll talk a little bit about next. These are the things that flesh out the rest of your timeline.
Yeah. So transportation is a big one. And if you have a very simple wedding and you have like, you know, 100 guests and everything's at one spot, you're probably not going to need to worry too much about this unless you have a lot of people from out of town and you've provided a shuttle bus, right?
When we talk about transportation, we're talking about like mass buses or shuttles or some way that
anything you've arranged.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your own transportation. And so I put a lot of buffer time in my schedule, especially if you're getting married in a major city, right? And you're going to be driving in from the suburbs. Or even if you're driving in from downtown, you know, there could be events going on, street closures, what have you. You know, you try to do research in advance to know about these things happening. If there's stuff going on, like, you know, what if it's Gay Pride or if it's Blue Angels or, you know, whatever's going on. Or if there happens to be a Women's March, a protest of some kind.
There's always something going on.
Which with the current administration, there might be lots of those for the next 4 years. So at any rate, what I always do is I go to like Google Maps and I will just, you know, route the drive time and it'll say, you know, 12 minutes without traffic, 24 minutes with traffic. And so I'll probably put a half hour in there. I'll put that buffer time. If they arrive early, the bride or the groom arrives a little early, okay. You know, we'll just make sure that, you know, if they're not going to see each other, the other partner is in another room. When you arrive, here's where you're going to go, straight into this spot. When the guests arrive, of course, you don't want them arriving a half hour early. But if they arrived, you know, if the ceremony is at 2 o'clock, we want them arriving by 1:30. If they arrive at 1:20, okay, that's not a big deal. You know, music might not be started yet, but it's, you know, it's not in the grander scheme of things. Yes, yes. Better safe than sorry. So always put in at least a 10 to 15 minute buffer in your travel, because that way if the bus is 5 minutes late, and, you know, it leaves 5 minutes late. Well, guess what? I've got that 10, 15 minute buffer in my drive time line item of my wedding day schedule. And then also with buses, you have to account for the time it takes people to get on the bus, right? Mm-hmm.
Like it's a spot time. So you want, if the bus is going to leave at 5:30, then the bus needs to be at the hotel at his spot time of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And most transportation companies do work that in. Like, you're not being charged until guests get on the bus till 5:30, but they arrive early to make sure that they can park somewhere and as people kind of trickle on. So the spot time will usually be between 20 and 30 minutes before guests will actually get on. And transportation like this with the bus and a hotel or going from one venue to the next, this is, I'll admit, the crunchiest part of my timeline most of the time and of the wedding day, because I'm not there to make sure that the buses, that I'm usually at the venue and the bus is picking up somewhere else. And there's so many factors you can't control, like a traffic or a car accident. You know, it's out of your hands. So do the best you can. And the safest way to do that is to add a little bit of extra time to the whole process.
And then I also recommend having a point person at the hotel. You know, there might be that family members that's like, hey, Christy, I want to help in whatever way I can. How can I help? How can I help? They're always asking, how can I help? Finally, you've got something. Mm-hmm. Hey, Liz, would you mind like just making sure that here's a list of everybody that should be on the bus. Here's the name of the bus company and the driver and his cell number. Could you please be my point person for the hotel? And Liz will gladly do that. You just email her the list of people or the number of people, the timing, the name of the transportation company, and boom, Liz is on it.
Yeah, that is very helpful. And even in talking about this timeline, I'm realizing that a master timeline is really just a series of small timelines.
I know.
And transportation is one of those.
Those are my branch off timelines. Do you have that, like the hair and makeup schedule and then the transportation schedule? Oftentimes I'll have like just a separate transportation schedule that I print out for myself. Yes.
Especially if there's multiple hotels and multiple spot times and multiple buses. That's when it really gets into like wedding planner hat mm-hmm. on. Because it's like I will sit and physically move papers around my desk to help me understand exactly what bus one is doing when bus two is doing this. And then bus one comes back at the end of the night, but we don't need bus two. And
right.
Blah, blah, blah. It can get tricky.
Yeah, because at the end of the night, you're right. There's like people that leave earlier, people that take an Uber. You know, there's two different pickups I've had, you know, where the bride and groom say, you know what, I know that like my grandmother and my great aunt and then the caregiver and then my sister with the baby back at the hotel, they're going to want, Michelle, they're going to want to leave by like 9:30. But I want everybody else to stay till the end, till 11. Right. So then we've got a whole nother at the end of the night. It's not even just pre-ceremony. It's post-celebration.
Yeah. I think we'll have to dedicate an entire episode to transportation logistics. It is the topic I get the most questions about. And that, in my experience, brides and grooms, and they find the most frustrating to deal with. So we'll have to put that in there. Some transportation companies let you, you know, split up your 4-hour time period as 2 hours at the beginning and 2 hours at the end. Some make you pay for the whole time, even if the bus is just sitting there for 4 hours. There's just a lot of logistics to deal with. And it's, I would say it's not the most fun part of wedding planning, is like trying to work all of this out. But the end result is that you're trying to make things easy for your guests and you're trying to get as many people there as comfortably as possible. So that is a positive thing. And just, you know, take your time, be detailed, and keep your eye on the prize on this one.
And, you know, if you're having a wedding where most people are local, you're not going to have to worry about transportation for them. They're going to get there the way they can. You might have to worry about parking and valet if it's a private estate. In which case you'll need to put that in your timeline as well. But, you know,
not everybody has to rent a bus or do that.
No, it might be real simple. But again, when it comes to transportation, put buffer times in, get cell numbers, call the night before, ask who the driver is, who, what, when, where.
And on a side note of transportation is, even if you're not doing a bus or any company that you're hiring, do include on the timeline your travel time, even if it's like bride and bridesmaids leave house at 4, arrive at venue at 4:20. And Mia, the maid of honor, rented a van for this. And that's how you guys are going to do it.
Who's driving?
Who's driving and
who's on it?
Where are you going from one place to the next? And that really just needs to be done for the wedding party and the family members who are going to be a part of the ceremony, because those are people that aren't just going to be with the general guest group that's coming in.
Yep.
So keep that in mind, too. And then at the end of the night, you know, if you got there somehow, you got to leave somehow.
You got to go back.
So you don't have to go home, but you can't stay.
Or you got to go to the club or the bar, whatever.
Yeah, so I think Uber, that's awesome. If any city that has Uber, that's always good for a couple people to have that on their phones. And then also just keeping in mind that if you drove a car and you can't drive it back, then make sure you ask the venue or the location if the car can stay there, and, you know, check in with those things. We don't want anyone driving away from the wedding inebriated.
No. And to that end, make sure on your timeline you've got a last call. I always have last call on the timeline, and you should think about that in advance, knowing your guests. Your venue might make that decision for you. They might say, listen, last call is going to be this time. But if not, if you're doing it at a home, at a private home, you know, you're going to have to think about that. I would say last call should be at least an hour before the end time, because they're still going to be drinking after last, you know what I mean? They're going to drink that cocktail and they're going to have to drive. So think about that. Be responsible, people.
And that's another thing you have to check your contracts for, because you may have only paid for a bar service for 4 hours and that started at 6. So at 10, the bar is going to close up according to your contract. If you want to adjust that, you definitely can. Most caterers will happily add on an extra hour of the bar package. But again, this is what you will have done, you know, at the beginning of step 3 for timeline. You look at all of your contracts and put in the information that you've already agreed to, like bar service.
And then on that last call, that line item, that row on your timeline, who is it? It might be your DJ, your MC, who will announce last call. Do you want that announced? So lots of stuff to think about.
Lots.
Oh, what about a wardrobe change? I just was meeting with one of my clients this week, and she's like, I'm thinking about getting another dress. Is that weird? No, lots of people do that. Let's build that into the timeline. Let's make sure we've got that there. Well, Michelle, I want to walk around and talk to people at the tables or have a receiving line. We talked about that last week. We got to build that into the timeline. These are all those, you know, little last minute things that you think of, or at the last minute, you decide you want to talk about, you know, how mom and dad have been married for 30 years and their anniversary was last month. And we have a special cake coming up for them. So lots of details.
And if you've done your timeline, when you're adding those details, you can see, oh, our photographer leaves at 10 p.m. So if I am going to change dresses, I should do that before 10 p.m. because I want the photographer to capture that. Or if we are going to do a toast to my mom and dad, let's make sure that the photographer, the videographer, the DJ all know about that and that it's within the time that they're going to be there, because you don't want them to miss it.
Or maybe we make that decision, like, this is driving me crazy. I can't figure out how to fit all this into the time that the photographer is going to be there. Guess what? We listened to that budget episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast that told us to have a line item for miscellaneous. Let's throw $200 at that photographer and keep him an extra hour. Let's just do it. Let's just go crazy.
Yeah, make the call. Generally, if you make the call ahead of time, you'll pay a little bit less money than if you make the call that minute.
Yep.
He's got his bags on. He's just checking in with you before he leaves. And you're like, oh, we didn't get to do that one thing. Can you please stay for another hour?
Sure, that'll be $450.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm going to need a check.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't want to be dealing with money on the wedding day either. So part of the final confirmation calls is making sure that you're all paid up. And if you do have any balances due, sometimes it's an automatic, like a transportation company usually takes your credit card information and then automatically charges you the agreed upon amount the day of, or even the night of, like right after they do the service. So know what to expect so that all those go through. And then if anybody does insist on being paid at the wedding day, I always encourage my couples, my clients, to give that to somebody else like me to give to them, or their a parent, or even their best man, somebody that they trust to stay on top of it and, you know, sober, so that they're not actually dealing with writing checks or pulling cash out of their pockets on the wedding day itself. But some vendors want to be paid that way. So just make arrangements ahead of time.
And then let's talk about strike and vendors that might be coming back at the end of the night. So strike is industry lingo for clean it up, put it all away. Mm-hmm. And so, again, in your contract with your venue, you have, let's say, a total of 8 hours. But 2 of those hours is 1 hour ahead for arrival and setup, and the hour at the tail end for breakdown and cleanup, strike. And so you might have set up with your vendor contact, your rep there, that either the florist has to come back that night to collect all those beautiful vases and vessels and boxes and whatnot, or the catering staff will put them all in one spot and that florist can come back on Monday. If you rented furniture, linens, flatware, chairs, chair covers, that vendor might have to come back that night to pick up at 11:30 and you're going to get charged for it. Or, again, they can come back on Monday. So just a side note, as you're creating your wedding day timeline, you're going to have a ton of questions for your venue rep, your contact at that place. I would just suggest creating a draft email and adding to it and adding to it and adding to it so that you send a huge bulk of questions all at once. Because if not, you're going to find yourself sending an email like every 10 minutes, several times a day.
Yeah. And then that email chain is like 75 messages long, and they each have one question and one answer.
Yeah. Try to send like one email every 2 or 3 days or, you know, what have you.
Yeah, some, I mean, the answers with Strike are probably going to be a pretty hard yes or no based on the venue. Some venues, it's totally cool if everything just gets pushed into like a corner or a side of the room, or even just stays in that ballroom if it's a hotel and they don't have any other events and it's not a big deal. Everybody can come back on Monday. Some venues, absolutely nothing can stay here. It all needs to be picked up the day of. And you have to be out by midnight. So you have to work that in. I was just on the phone this morning with a rental company we're getting 80 Shivari chairs from. And they're coming back the same night to pick everything up. And it's only 80, and they stack, and there's a service elevator. So, I mean, everything is in place for this to be quick. But we have 1 hour, and that's it. If we go past midnight, the client is going to be charged for extra time used at the venue.
Mm-hmm.
So I am absolutely planning on bringing some sneakers and changing out of my heels at 11 p.m. to help these two guys that come back bag those cushions and stack the chairs and get out, along with the florist and the catering company who has taken all of the furniture back. So it's doable. I've checked with all the vendors to make sure they can do it in an hour, but I'm prepared to roll my sleeves up as well, because I don't want my clients to be charged for going over time.
Yeah, they're probably
and this
already
venue, yeah,
being charged this, for them coming back that night to pick up those chairs.
Yes, they are. But that was worked into those initial contracts with the florist and the rental company. And they actually gave them really good deals because this venue happens to be in the design district where, in Dallas at least, where most of these vendors have their warehouses.
Mm.
So it's actually like pretty convenient, because I know that on the wedding day, if I'm short for whatever reason, a chair or a 6-foot table, I can call, and within 5 minutes I should have somebody on their way. But that is not always the case. So just make sure that whoever is coming back at the end of the night, if anyone, they know how much time they have to get everything out.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Did we do
it? Well, we did. We just had that one other sub-timeline, which is hair and makeup, which Michelle and I have decided that this needs to be its own episode, because just like transportation, a lot goes into hair and makeup, and we could probably fill a short episode just with that.
Yeah. And that's detail. Not just for the ladies. I've had men get touch-ups and powder.
Me too, yep.
For photos. Yeah.
And then usually two different locations and also that part of the timeline tends to feel a little bit crunched as well, because there's almost never enough time to do hair and makeup in the time allowed if you're talking about for more than 5 women.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like that always gets kind of like, okay, you were supposed to be done 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Who's next? Adding in buffer time there is also a very, very good idea.
Oh, yes. Buffer. I love buffer.
You can't rush that stuff.
No, not the beautification. Can't rush any of this, man. It's got to have its own, ebb and flow.
Row. It has its own row on your spreadsheet.
Yeah, it has its own row and column.
Yeah, and you give it some respect.
Right. You respect the cells.
Respect the cells.
Yeah, respect the cells. All right.
Put a lot of information in there, organize it, and, enjoy the process as much as you can, but really enjoy the process of letting it go and handing it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Being like, this is this really awesome thing I made. Make it happen. Make it seem effortless.
And that in and of itself is going to give you peace of mind on your wedding day, knowing that you figured all this shit out and they all know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Now, as always, lovely listeners, please email and tweet us with any questions you have, because there might be even more questions now that you've listened to all three of these and are like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about this, that, or the other. So Twitter handle is?
At TBWP podcast. And you can tweet us and we will tweet back, and then we will also address it on a future episode.
Tweet, and email us if you'd like, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com.
And that's our website too, thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And we include show notes after every episode once it's posted.
We show you.
And the show notes are like a detailed kind of cliff's notes of what we talked about. And if we talked about any other websites, we include links to that. So it's a good follow-up.
Yeah.
Check that out too. And tell your mom, tell your friends. Tell your mom's friends.
Tell your mom's friends and your dad's friends.
Explain what a podcast is.
Say hi to them for us. Yeah. All right. Love you. Love your show. Have a good day, everybody.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.